Torah Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
Where there's a lot of joyous celebrations with one another, but yet there's no baby Jesus to be found anywhere. Not in the manger, not in their hearts, not under the tree, not anywhere. And it seems like Christmas has lost that. But really and truly, we can talk about even celebrating. This is the celebration of Jesus Christ's birth. Now, and we may not even adopt the thing of saying, well, we're going to sing happy birthday to Jesus, because nowhere in the Bible says to celebrate the birthday of Jesus, right? Some people say that it's not a command in the Bible. That's okay. We still celebrate his coming, his being here with us, him coming to earth. You know, even if you want to call it, well, we'll call it Jesus' birthday, because we don't even know the date when it's supposed to be celebrated. That's fine, but at least celebrate his coming to earth, his presence among us, and be joyful. You know, Jesus took his crown and set it aside. And from his crown set aside, he came down to a crib. And from the crib, he went to a cross. And from his cross, he was resurrected and ascended and put his crown right back up again. Isn't that a reason to celebrate? Amen. But let's think about what the birth of Jesus gives us. It gives us four M's, okay? Let's think about it in the letter M, all right? The birth of the Messiah, number one, the birth of the Messiah. What is Jesus' birth? Well, first of all, it gives us four things. Well, the birth of the Messiah. And I want to read in Luke chapter 2. We're going to go there, and we're going to read the first 14 verses of this chapter. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 14. Now, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Father, thank you so much for this wonderful word and telling us this great story so that we may be encouraged. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, let's think about it in four terms. First is the birth of the Messiah, the Messiah. When you look in verse 11, it says, "For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ." The word Christ is the word that is used in the Greek for Messiah. Messiah is in the Hebrew. Christ is in the Greek. It means the same thing, which is the anointed of God, the one who comes to save, the one whom he had promised. You know what I mean? So, first of all, even Jesus said at some point in his life, he said, "I came to what? To seek and to save the lost, to seek and to save the lost. That's his goal. That's what he said in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. That's exactly what Jesus said. I came to seek and save the lost. You see, he is the Son of Man, and that's what he came to do. He himself is the one seeking. He himself is the one saving. That's what he did. That's what was announced at his birth, that he would come to save. He would be a savior. You know how they say out there, if we needed a financial helper, then God would have sent an accountant. If we needed somebody who defend us, then he would have sent a lawyer, right? If we needed a doctor, he would have sent a doctor. And Jesus is all that in a bag of chips and extra, more, right? But the main purpose of Jesus was that he came to what? To seek and to save the lost. And just that word savior encases everything about his purpose, right? So this is a great thing. Now, who are the sinners? Because he came to save the lost. Who is lost? We are all sinners, and all of us need someone to save us. We're all in need of a savior, right? All of us have sinned, and we all need that someone to save us. It was a very unusual birth, the birth of Christ Jesus. It was a miraculous birth. He was born of a virgin. An angel came and announced his birth. You see, and not only that, he was born unto us, for us, for us. He is the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, the Lord, the King. All those names that we were singing about a little while ago. Now, who are the lost? The lost are sinners. And who are the sinners? That's me and you. That's we, right? But we know that all of us need someone to save us. So why not then allow him to save us, right? In 1988, a young lady, 16-year-old, named Anissa Ayala. Anissa had a very rare form of leukemia. And the doctors told her parents, she's not going to survive, even with all the chemo and radiation treatment, she's still going to die, unless we find a match for her bone marrow and do a transplant. Well, neither father or mother or brother, no one was a match. Now, her parents, being in their 40s, thought, what if we just risk it and have another child, and maybe that newborn child will be a match? Now, being in their 40s, it was a risk, but they did it, and they had a child, Marissa, and Marissa was a match. And they waited till she was 14 months old, and they actually did a bone marrow transplant from Marissa to Anissa, and today they both live healthy lives. Now, after a few years went by, and Marissa heard the story, how she was born onto this world, and that because of her bone marrow, her sister was still alive. She grew closer and closer to her sister. And at one point in an interview, somebody asked Marissa, so tell us, how do you feel? How do you feel about all this? And she says, well, this is very simple. If I wouldn't have been born, she wouldn't have been saved. And that's why I love her. That's something. If Jesus wouldn't have been born, you and I wouldn't stand a chance to be saved. That little baby, it was in power in his birth. It was miraculous, and he became the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. That's why he is the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And that's what he wants to be in your heart, right? He is the Messiah. It's the birth of the Messiah. But number two, it's the birth of a message. The birth of a message. Look at verse 10. The angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you what? Good news. I bring you a message from God. We are messengers, angels, right? And they say, do not be afraid, because I bring you great news. They are joyful for all of you. There is a message for all of us. And the message is the good news of the gospel, which, of course, the gospel is the message of good news. We say the good news of the gospel. Well, guess what gospel means? It means good news. Right? So the good news of the good news. if we were to transliterate that, right? In the Greek, we would be saying, well, let me give you the good news about the good news, right? So it is a message for everyone, for all people. The birth of Christ is a message, and it's a message for all the people. And what is the message? The message is that we can be forgiven. Forgiven. Now, we know that Jesus carries so many names, and even with all of the names and all the titles we give him, he's still much more, right? He's much more than that. We just can't give him enough names to describe who he is and what he does. But they said that his name would be Jesus. What does Jesus mean? Yahweh saves. Jehovah saves. God saves. So even in his name, it's like, what's your name? God saves. Or it's more, actually, more accurate is Yahweh or Jehovah. The Hebrews say Yahweh. So Yahweh saves. He's saying the name of his father. Basically he said, my father saves. That's his name. The son's name is my father saves. That's pretty awesome. That's the message that we need to receive. His name would be Jesus. That's what mom and pops were told to give him the name, right? The name Jesus. Now, the thing is that sometimes we just don't get the message. Have you ever talked to people that just don't get the message? Have you ever been one of those that don't get the message? Yeah, been there too, right? Now, you can ask my wife and she'll tell you straight up, yeah, he's the one, right? You won't get the message. Check this out. It was a lawyer and he got saved, all right? And he started looking at his books and he had some people who owed him money and, you know, past due more than 6 months. And he decided, you know what? I am going to forgive their debt. So I'm going to send them a letter to let them know that their debt has been wiped clean. You know, no more debt. I'm going to erase it from the books. So he typed up all 17 letters and sent them in the mail, right? Well, out of the 17 letters, 16 of them were returned to his office. 16 of them were returned to his office. You see, people, they looked at the envelope, and as soon as they saw the name of the attorney, knowing that they owed him so much money for so long, they decided, oh, I ain't even opening that. I ain't signing for it. But what they didn't know is that inside these letters was a message of forgiveness for them. You know how many people in this world have received a letter but just don't want to read it? And there's a message for every one of us that our debt has been paid for by the attorney of attorneys, our advocate, Jesus Christ. It's been paid for. We've been given a message of forgiveness. What a profound message that our debt, which is called sin, has been paid, and God has been willing to cancel our debt. And he has sent us this love letter, but we are not even willing to open and read what the message is in his letter so that we may be forgiven, so that we may have a new beginning, so that we may be wiped clean and start all over again. See, the birth of Jesus Christ is the birth of the Messiah. It's also the birth of a message. But number three is the birth of a mission. The birth of a mission. Yes, when you look at verse 14, it says, glory to God in the highest. On earth, what? Peace, right? On earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased, right? So there is a mission here. You see, the angels announce the birth of Jesus, and they announce it as a message of good news. They announced his name, his purpose as being a Savior. But you know what? The mission is for us to have peace with God. That is his mission, to bring peace. Remember that Jesus told his disciples at one time, my peace I give unto you. And it's not like the peace of this world. It's totally different. The peace that I give you, this world cannot give you. The mission is to occupy the throne of your heart and give you true peace. That is the birth of Jesus Christ, the mission of his birth, to come and be born in your heart, not just in a manger. You see, just like our lives, our daily lives in this world speaks of peace, but it's a superficial peace. And that's what they were experiencing at the time, because the Roman emperor had declared what it was called the Pax Romana, which is the Roman peace. It was a peace declared by the emperor. And that peace, they were okay to worship, but they were persecuted. They were okay to worship and to live, but they had to pay extra taxes. So they were enslaved with a false peace. That's what was happening at the time. Yet, the Bible says that here comes, and the mission of this new Savior, or the one and only Savior, his mission is to come and occupy the throne of our hearts and give us true peace. And true peace, we've said this 20,000 times before, it's not the absence of conflict. Because Jesus said, in this world you will have conflict, but do not fear, for I have conquered the world. There's going to be problems. There's going to be all kinds of problems, but yet you can still have peace. And the Apostle Paul mentions that peace. He says this is a peace that what? Surpasses all understanding. Meaning you'll have peace in a way that sometimes you'll be like, I don't know how I can have this peace. It's just unexplainable, but I do have it. Because that's the kind of peace that God gives us. You see, because the true peace is not about the absence of conflict. And that's not what it is. That's the way we think, but that's not, it goes further than that. The mission of the birth of Jesus Christ is to bring true peace. And that true peace is the presence of Christ in your life. It's the presence of Christ. You see, peace is not something. Peace is someone. Peace is a person. And that person is Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about, his presence in our lives. And we will never have true peace with anyone until first we're able to have peace with God himself. You see, and that's only accomplished through Jesus Christ. So the way that I can truly find peace with others is for me to find peace with God. And the way to find peace with God is through Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and him occupying the throne of my heart, becoming the king in my heart, becoming the Lord of my life. That's the only way. So the birth of Christ is the birth of the Messiah, the Savior. It's the birth of a message that is good news, right? And it's a birth of a mission, as his mission is to give us peace. And last but not least, it's the birth of a movement. It's the birth of a movement. You know, like, wow, you've had so many movements born in this world out of complaining, out of criticism, out of politics, out of all kinds of problems. But this is a movement out of a good mission, which is to bring peace to the world. You see, that movement is called what? Church. You see, the birth of Christ ushers in the movement called church. Jesus establishes the church. Now, think about this. Here we are, more than 2,000 years later, and thousands and thousands of miles away from Bethlehem, where this event occurred. Yet, the movement is still going. Amen? The Energizer Bunny falls short to the church. He keeps going and going and going until the battery dies. They don't say that in a commercial. But the church is going to go on and on and on for eternity. There are no batteries in this one. We'll be energized by the Spirit of God forever and ever. And the church says, amen. And the Bible says that not even the gates of hell can prevail. Not even the gates of hell can prevail over this movement called church. And it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter where you are. There is somewhere, and everywhere, always, a group of people who belong to the church. There's always that remnant of people. There's always people that are the church anywhere you go around this world. So do not quit the church. You know how many people quit church? Now, I know that some quit Horeb and go to another church. That happens. And sometimes I'm not okay with that for the reasons. But you know what? At least they're in another church, right? Praise the Lord. But some people just quit church. And that makes me feel weird. Because if we've always said that the Apostle Paul describes the church as a body. And if you're part of the body, let's just say you're a finger. Okay, so the finger decides, I don't want to be no longer in this body. He cuts himself off and he dies. Because any member you cut off from your body will have what? If it doesn't get connected to a body, it gets what? It dies. And a lot of people quit the church because one finger doesn't like the other one because he's longer than him. Or he's bigger than him. Oh, I don't like to be a finger. I want to be an ear. Well, man, those are ugly. Why would you want to be an ear? Anyway, they want to hear it all. They want to gossip. But you see, that's the thing. They leave the body and they die. There's no way a member of the body can survive and can't keep going on without being connected to the body. We're not like snakes or, lizards and stuff. This stuff just gets... And that's just for a while. That's just a reaction, right? And that's exactly what... Actually, let me shut up. But you see, there's no way that if you truly belong to the church that you can abandon the church without abandoning Christ. There's no way you can say, I like to say around here, Jesus, I love you with all my heart, but your bride, I don't like her. I don't want to be around her. As a matter of fact, I despise her. All right? How would you feel if somebody told you that, right? That's not good. You cannot have a relationship with Christ and reject the church. You just can't. You just cannot do that. Well, read the story about a man who was on a boat, and he went out to sea, went adrift, and then the weather got pretty bad, and his boat sank, and he was floating on a piece of wood. He ended up on this little deserted island. 5 years later, rescuers finally got to this man, and when they came, it was curious. They were kind of curious because there was three huts. Three. One of the rescuers was so curious he couldn't hold himself. He said, sir, it's kind of weird, but there's three. Are you all by yourself? He's like, yeah, I'm all by myself. He's like, okay, so why three huts? And he says, you see the one on the left? That's where I live. He's like, yeah. He said, you see the one over on the right? Yeah. He says, that's the church I go to. Really? What about the one in the middle? Oh, that's the church I used to go to. It's amazing, right? Well, you see, when you reject the church, you reject yourself. Because you are the church. You are the church. You are. You see, I, no pun intended, but sometimes, when we welcome you, we say, welcome to Horeb Baptist Church. We're basically saying, welcome to yourself. Because you are the church, right? Right? You are the church. We are the church. We are the children. Right? We are the ones to make a brighter day for Jesus. Amen? Some of you remember that. Some of you are like, what in the world is he talking about, right? It's amazing, these songs that come out that you could just turn into something. But you see, that's the main key. The church is a movement established by Christ, and this movement will not cease to exist, so you better hang with it. As a matter of fact, you guys hang with it. Can you tell the other ones that don't come around to hang with it, to start hanging with it? That might be the mission and your message. To tell them about the Messiah. Amen? Ain't that amazing? And you know what? The church will continue until he comes back for her. Christ initiated this movement, and it will be going and going and going until he comes. And he's not coming back to Bethlehem. The Bible says that he will come back to Jerusalem. And he will not come as a baby. He will come as a victorious king. Isn't that amazing? So while it is Jesus' birthday, the birthday of the king, and maybe you celebrate it one way or another, maybe instead of giving so many gifts to so many people, maybe there is something you may want to give to Christ as a gift. And you're like, well, I'm already a Christian. Can't give him a heart. He already has it. Well, great. What about you give him more time? What about you give him more of your treasures? What about you give him more of your talents? You saw that? I preached that a long time ago here, the three T's. Your talents, your treasures, your time. And maybe there's something in one of those three areas that you can say, Jesus, this year, I need to give you more of this. Because you got it. I mean, you know that unto you has been born a Savior, your Messiah. You know that unto you has been given a message, right? You know that unto you there has been a mission accomplished. You have peace with him. And you know that you're part of the movement of God, the church. So let us do Christmas in a way that honors him. And it'll bring us the joy that is promised in his birth.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart presented, a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.